Your mercy endures forever. Thank you, Lord, that your mercy endures forever. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for this day today. Thank you for the anointing that sets people free, for the Holy Ghost that opens the eyes of our understanding, that teaches us today. Thank you, Lord, that it's not a man that's going to teach us, but it's the Holy Ghost that's going to teach us. And Lord, I thank you that we'll hear things we need to hear today, and we'll see things we need to see. And Lord, your work will be done, and the needs will be met. And Father, I just thank you for bringing this church into the place that it needs to be in the Spirit, and in the place in God that it needs to stand in this last hour. And Father, thank you for the work you're going to do today to help us get there. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, you can be seated. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, you can turn your Bible to Psalms 119. Usually I have very little, if any, notes. But today is not one of them days. I'm going to go through quite a few scriptures and just lay a foundation for you about the importance of revelation knowledge. And we've been speaking on this subject for several weeks now, both I and Pastor Mitch. And I think it's very important that we see certain things and certain things that come to us and understand certain things about what we need to do in this last day. Praise God. Well, thank you, Lord. I'll say this. The only way you can understand the gospel and the word of God is by revelation. If you don't believe me, just turn on the TV and watch some of these guys who are professors in these big universities that have all these degrees that teach some kind of a Bible subject. Just listen for them to them for about 10 minutes. You'll realize the only way you can understand the Bible is through revelation. Because even though they have studied it and they know the words, you know, they don't have a revelation of what it says. They don't believe in the divinity of Jesus. They talk against miracles. They talk against every Bible subject. Well, they think they know what the word says, but they don't have any revelation into it. But one thing that's glorious is in this hour, I believe, and I was talking with Pastor Mitch on a Friday night, you know, knowledge is increasing in the earth, and also revelation is increasing in the earth. So we're going to be able to tap into the revelation that God has for this generation, that God wants to bring us into, and I believe that he'll bring us to a good place. And great things will come. Well, did you bring your Bibles today? Hallelujah. I'd encourage you to always bring your Bible. And like someone said, if you're ashamed to be seen in public with your Bible, just put it in a sack and carry it in until you get to your seat, then take it out. And then read it and then put it back in the sack and take it home until you get delivered from that. Just a thought. Just a thought. Hallelujah. Psalm 119, 105 says this, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So he says, "Thy word is a lamp or a candle to my feet and a light unto my path." Psalm 119, verse 130, "The entrance of thy words giveth light, and it giveth understanding unto the simple." The entrance of thy words giveth light, and it giveth understanding unto the simple. So what's he saying? In the word, there's revelation. When you hear and you feed on the word, you're able to receive revelation. Now, I'd encourage you, every time you hear, if every scripture I read today, you know, which there's only so many scriptures. I mean, there's not any new ones we're going to read today. Thank the Lord. No hidden Bibles, no hidden books. It's the same one you've been carrying around all these years. But no matter what subject I teach on, no matter how many times you've heard it, there's still more revelation you can get out of it. I remember Brother Hagin, and my wife mentioned to me just a couple weeks ago, I talk about Brother Hagin a lot, and you may not know Brother Hagin so much. But Brother Hagin was, I believe, one of the greatest men of God that lived since the days of the Apostle Paul. And he was a prophet of God and ministered for many, many years. He's really my spiritual father. And a lot of things with Brother Hagin, a lot of, you know, Kenneth Copeland, a lot of the ministries that have come from his teaching, the Word of Faith movement, and the things that we hold dear, I will talk about Brother Hagin quite a bit. So, but that's just me. That's just where I learned. But one thing, Brother, I remember Brother Hagin was teaching on the subject of faith. And he'd been teaching on faith for about 60 years. And he was going along and he starts reading Mark 11, 23 and 24. And then all of a sudden he stopped and says, you know what? I see something I haven't seen before. And he preached on it for 60 years. And that was the scripture that brought him off of the deathbed. So, you know, you need to hear with these ears today. But also you need to hear with the ears of your spirit. And just put your faith out that the Holy Ghost is going to speak to you today. I've always said this. It's not so important what I say to you today as it is what the Holy Ghost says to you through what I say today. So you take what I'm saying today and allow the Holy Spirit to minister that to you. But it says here in verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. What's light? It's revelation. And we come into a time to where we really need revelation in a lot of areas, in a lot of subjects. We need God to open our eyes. We need God to bring us into some things and allow us to see and to understand. Well, the Word of God itself is alive and powerful, and it gives light, and it gives life. And contained within the Word is everything God is. The Bible says God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Well, as you get into the Word, the entrance of those words, God's Word, God, you know, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life. And there's an anointing that's in the Word. And as you feed upon the Word and let your spirit feed upon the Word, then there's an anointing that will come and open your eyes, and the Holy Ghost will take the Word. And as you meditate on it, the light will begin to come. Thank God that light will arise out of the midst of darkness. Have you ever been in a situation where you just don't know what to do? You don't know how to deal with what you're dealing with? You may have a financial issue, a health issue, whatever you're dealing with, a relationship issue. But as you're praying, as you're meditating, as you're reading, you'll come across a scripture or you'll hear something or someone will preach on TV, and all of a sudden those words come. And out of the midst of darkness, light comes. Well, thank God that we've got to base everything on the Word. Let's turn to Psalm 19, verse 8. Are y'all glad it's getting warmer outside? Praise God. I'm just hoping me and Mike wasn't the only ones. Hallelujah. The warmerer, the betterer, huh, Brother Mike? Psalm 19, verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Brother Hagin said the greatest need in the church today and in the end times is for the church's mind to be renewed to the Word of God. Now, there's a lot of needs in the church today, trust me. But the greatest need is to have revelation. That's the greatest need. Well, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. We're going to go through quite a few scriptures here today, so buckle up. It's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. Hebrews 11, verse 7. I know what's in here. It says this, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. What's that? That's revelation. God came to Noah and gave him a revelation about the day he lived in. And his generation, and what his plan and what his purpose was. Do you know what? God came to Noah. God came to Abraham. God came to every person you read about in the Bible somewhere. And somewhere down the line, they got a revelation of what they were supposed to do in their generation. Do you know what the greatest need you had today is? It's not making a lot of money. Boy, that one went over big. It's not accomplishing some great thing. The greatest need you have and the thing that's going to set the course for your entire life is not how much knowledge you have, and thank God for knowledge. It's better than being stupid, isn't it? Y'all go ahead and laugh. You're not going to break. I don't think. It ain't that cold in here. But the greatest need that you have and the thing that's going to set the course for your life is for you to have a revelation from God for what your purpose and what you're supposed to do on this earth. And I tell you what, nobody can prophesy that to you. They can confirm it. No one can come up and talk you into it. Mama can't call you. Mama may try. But it has to be something to where in your spirit you discern and you know what the purpose for your life is. Now, we know there's certain things in the Bible that clearly tells what the purpose of your life is. Just, you know, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, that's a good place to start. We know there's certain things to do, live for God. But really, you've got to have a revelation about what you're supposed to do, what your place is in the body, where you're supposed to function, how you're supposed to function. And if you'll allow revelation to come, it'll set the course for your life. Now, I remember, and I talked about it the other day, when I was going to college, well, my first year, I lived through it. And that's probably the biggest miracle of the ages. Thank God I got through it. I survived it. But into the second year, so in the summer, I really got saved, filled the Holy Ghost, really came to God. But then God began to move. But then during that time, see, I was going to go to college. I didn't even know what I was going to major in. I didn't have no just real strong direction on what I was supposed to do. I didn't sense any, you know, some people want to be a lawyer, a doctor, or this or that. I really didn't have anything really that I really, my heart could settle on. And then I began to listen to Brother Copeland's tapes. Then I began to listen to Brother Hagin's tapes. And somewhere through hearing that word and being around that anointing, on the inside, the Holy Ghost began to show me what I was supposed to do in my life. And I began to have desires, and then certain things began to come to me, and the whole purpose and course of my life was set by revelation. Not by just what looked good or what people thought I should do. You know what? You've got to live your life on the inside by revelation. Because if you don't, you'll follow your own path. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And a lot of people follow their own head. And a lot of times there's not much in it. Don't laugh now. That's kind of sad. There's not much there to follow. But if you're left to yourself, to your own devices, to your own thinking, to your own ways, you're really walking out, you're really living life according to your knowledge and not revelation knowledge. Well, we don't want to be in that way in the last days. We want to live by revelation. But Noah was warned of God of things as not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. What did he do? Everything with Noah that he did it by the revelation that God gave him concerning his purpose in that hour. And he acted on that and he operated on that. That's where we're at today. We've got to find our place. We've been talking about it. I know Pastor Mitch talking about last year, this year. We went to Fort Worth, to Kenneth Copeland's ministry convention. They're talking about being in your place. Everything is about standing in the place where you're called to. Well, how are you going to know that? No one can tell you. God's got to reveal that to you. And you've got to know that on the inside. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you this, there's no substitute for it either. You see, are we going to live according to our own understanding? The Bible says, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. But in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths, and he'll make them sure. So really, we want to have the word and the spirit of God come into our life to the place to where everything we do by revelation. And the people that we're with, the friends we're with, the people we're hooked up with, ultimately, if you're single, the person you're going to marry, everything you're associated with, it's not by just your understanding, it's by revelation, and it's being led by the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Well, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3, and let's look at Paul for a minute. We'll go through several scriptures here, and it's not anything you don't know in the sense that you've read these scriptures before, and we've talked about it, and you know it. But there's always more you can get. So I'd encourage you today just to pull on that anointing. You know, if you pull on it, you'll receive. It's there. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 says this. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word. Now look at verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as of I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Excuse me. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery from which the beginning of the world had been hidden God, who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent now that under the principalities and powers in heavenly places may be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, what did he say? The whole dispensation of grace, everything about Jesus, his coming, the gospel, our dispensation, everything associated with the New Testament, you know what? It was a revelation. It was a mystery that was hid. The only way you can understand it is by revelation. It came by revelation to Paul. Well, let's look at Galatians chapter 1. It all came by revelation. He didn't know it. The people didn't know it. Even the apostles of the Lamb, Jesus' disciples. You know, Peter writes and says, you know, Paul says some things that are hard to understand. But you better listen to it. Why? Because, see, Paul didn't get it from man. Paul got it by revelation. And what Paul preached, he preached by revelation. Remember they asked Smith Wigglesworth about his sermons. How did how'd you dig that one up? He says, brother, I don't dig them up. They come down from heaven. That goes back to its place of original origin. If I got to dig it up, it's going to take me, the people, and everything right back where it came from. But it came down, it was revealed, and I share it, and it brings everybody back to where it started from. So we're not digging up anything when we're ministering. Galatians chapter 1, let's look at verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many mine equals in mine own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Look at verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I immediately conferred not with flesh and blood. But what did he say? I loved God. I grew up in church. I preached intensely in my religion. I was the most zealous. He was the most intense one in his religion. But you know what? He wasn't operating and living according to revelation. He was living according to religion and according to his knowledge and his traditions. You know, a lot of people don't live by revelation. They live by tradition, church tradition. You know, that's one of the hardest things to break is church tradition. The only way you can break it is get a revelation from the word. And really, people will fight you to the death. Some church people, I mean, good people, they'll fight you over does Jesus heal? About the Holy Ghost, tongues, the gifts of the Spirit. Are you to be blessed? Well, I think God wants us to be poor. Well, where can you show that in scriptures? Well, you know, they just taught certain traditions and they're very zealous about it and they're very intense about it. But you know what? It's not revelation from the word. But Paul was the most religious, the most zealous of all of them. But there came a time when the Son was revealed in him. And then let's look at chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel, that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. What did he do? He received the gospel by revelation. He went to different places. And then in chapter 2, after 14 years, after the last place he went up to Jerusalem by revelation. So Paul is operating in revelation. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul received the gospel, the mystery of the gospel, through revelation. It was something that was revealed to him. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Well, what's he talking about? He's talking about the gospel being a revelation, that the people in the world, you know why people aren't coming into Jesus? They don't have that revelation. They don't have a revelation of who he is, their need for salvation. You know, Jesus said one of the works of the Holy Ghost is he'll convict the world of their sin and their need for Jesus. So one of the things the Holy Ghost does is show sinners their need for salvation. You know, really that happened to every one of us who was a believer. There came a time, no matter where you were, no matter how you grew up, no matter what you were taught, that all of a sudden a revelation came and you understood and you knew that you were not saved, that you didn't have Jesus, and that the only way to heaven was through Jesus. And when you had that revelation, either through the gospel being preached or God taking words that someone else had preached, when that revelation came, then when you acted upon it and believed in Jesus, that's when you were saved. Well, one of the things here it says, verse 6, God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. It says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What treasure is that? Is it Jesus? Yeah, it's Jesus. But here he says, it's the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. So part of the treasure we have in this earthen vessel is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. So if we have that revelation and we see Jesus and we have that revelation of the glory, well, that's the treasure that we have as believers today. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And these are all familiar scriptures. You see, it wasn't just getting saved, but it was having a revelation of the knowledge of the glory. And you know, really the revelation that we need to come into today more than ever is come into the revelation of that glory in our generation. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and unto the knowledge of the Son of God. What's the knowledge of the Son of God? That's revelation. Unto a perfect or a mature man, under the measure of the fullness, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. What's this talking about? People that don't have revelation. Why? Because every doctrine, everything they hear, no matter what they hear, they'll listen to it and they'll be moved by it. See, one of the greatest things you need in church is to be fed the word. So that you're strong in the word and you have revelation in the word. And then when you understand the word and the revelation comes, that matures you, that makes you strong, and that keeps you from being moved. Because when you hear something that's not of God, that's not according to the revelation of the mystery that was revealed to Paul, you know that that's not right, and you just ignore it or you reject it. And it says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And then it talks about the body being formed together. So what the ministry gifts do, and one important part of the ministry gifts, is to preach the word by revelation, by the anointing, and allowing the knowledge and the anointing to come and mature the body so that they'll be mature and they'll grow up and they'll not be moved by every other kind of thing they hear or tossed about, or men won't be able to come in according to their understanding and take away from the anointing and the revelation that you have. See, once you have a revelation of something, no one can ever take that away from you. Remember, we were on the island there in Estonia, and we were doing like a layman's Bible school. And I was preaching about faith, and then I was preaching about covenant or something. I'm not sure exactly what I was preaching about. But we were just talking about the fact that Jesus wants you to be, you know, saved, healed, filled the Holy Ghost, your inheritance, all the basic things. God wants you to be blessed. Sickness doesn't come from God. Poverty doesn't come from God. And talking about what your covenant rights are. Well, there were some people from another church that on either that island or just the one just across there that were coming to that those meetings. And they start to hear these things for the first time. And you could tell when they're first listening to it, you know, they just have that look like it's not registering quite yet. But then the more you preach, the lights came on. And at the end, by the time we went through several weeks of that, they were so excited. I mean, they were thrilled. You could just tell they were excited about it. They understood it. They understood what their covenant was. They understood what the word says. And they were so thrilled. And then the next week, I was getting ready to preach. And I looked at these people, and man, their face was long. They just looked like they got the news that their mother-in-law is going to move in on them. Maybe that's not so funny. But they had that long face, and you could tell all the joy was gone. So afterwards, I talked to them. And what had happened is they were so excited when they heard the word and that light came, but they went back to the home church, talked to the church members, even talked with that pastor, bless his heart, talked to other people. And they said, oh, no. Healing's not for today. You know, faith is not for today. All these things are not for today. All that's passed away. And they begin to say these things to him. And because they were not grown up and because they were not strong, then all of a sudden they were wavering. And you could tell they were confused. They didn't know what to believe. And I just talked to him. I says, listen, don't believe anything that anybody says if you can't find it in the Bible. I don't want you to believe it because I'm saying it today. I want you to believe it because you see it in the Bible and the Holy Ghost reveals it to you. And see, once it goes from them just hearing it and being excited about it, once it becomes revelation, then you can't take revelation away from people. I mean, when you get the revelation that God wants you healed, they can, people line up all day long and try to talk you out of it, and they can't. They can beat you. They can do anything they want to. You know that you have that revelation. So they understood it. They heard the word. They were excited, but they didn't have no revelation into it. Or they didn't have the revelation they needed. So what did they need? Not just to hear the word. They needed to hear the word and understand it and have revelation. And it was that revelation that was going to keep them steady. Once you have revealed on the inside what God's called you to do, who you are, your purpose, anything God spoke to you to do, it don't matter the trials, the temptations, the circumstances, nothing can move you because you know. See, Jesus lived by revelation. You know how Jesus lived his entire life? He would read the word, which at that time was the Old Testament, and it would talk about his life, and on the inside, the Holy Ghost would say, that's you. It would talk about the Messiah, everything. And the Holy Ghost would say, that's you. What did he do when he got up to his own hometown? He found the place in Isaiah where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel. And he read that, and they'd heard that a lot. And then you know what he said? Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. How did he know that? By revelation. How did he know what was going to happen to him? In his life, his purpose in life, his mission, going to the cross, everything about his death, burial, resurrection, what was to come, it was all by revelation. He went to the cross by the knowledge of what the word said and his faith that the revelation that God showed him out of the word was true and it couldn't be changed. And you talk about having faith. He not only had faith to walk out the plan of God, he had faith to give himself up, to be scourged, to be crucified, to be killed, to lay in the grave 3 days. And the only evidence he had that he was coming out of there is what God's word said. He based his entire being on that. There was, John Lake was talking about a man that was a real famous guy. And he came to John G. Lake and said, you know, I'm going to form a new religion. And I want to get it on the hearts and minds of the people just as fast as I can. I want to do everything I can. Do you have any ideas of what I can do to get this new religion on? I'm exposed to the people and in the hearts and minds of the people so they'll accept it. He says, come back and see me in a few days. So he came back in a few days. He says, have you got my answer? He says, yeah, I do. He says, be scourged, be crucified, come down from the cross, be laid in a grave, and 3 days later, rise up and ascend to heaven as the only begotten Son of God, and people will follow you. Hey, that's the only one that's going to be on the hearts and minds of the people because that's the truth. Well, there's just something about the message of Jesus that's just different because it's life, it's the truth. But we need to be the place to where we know in our spirit. And Jesus was so sure what he was revealed of that once it was revealed, he never changed. He never backed off of it. But he lived according to Revelation. Let's look at verse 17 through 20. This is a group that have no revelation. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. Now look at verse 18. Having the understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart, who were past feeling, who being past feeling have given themselves unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. What's he talking about this group? Their mind's blind, their eyes are darkened, they have no revelation, they have no revelation of the word, the days they live in, so they walk and live out of the vanity of their own mind. And they're not living according to Revelation. Let's look at verse 21. But if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What's that mean? Have your mind renewed to the word or revelation. Well, what happens when you do that? And that you put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. Now here's some benefits of being a new creation, having your mind, having the spirit of your mind renewed and putting on the new man. It says, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good that he may have to give to them that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but which is for the good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed into the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. The people that do these things are the people that have revelation knowledge as a new creation. The people that don't do these things are what? Are in darkness. Their mind is blinded and they can't see. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. As we go today, you'll see how important that the key to everything is revelation knowledge. As you're going to Colossians 3, remember Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Some says, well, some Elijah, some this, some that. And he says, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what did he say? Boy, you got it right on the first time. How about that? No, he said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father. And upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. How many of you believe he was talking about Peter himself building the church on Peter? I'm glad I didn't see your hands. You knew you were. If it was, then man, he built it on a real shaky foundation, especially at the beginning. Because it was after that, you know, Peter was real bold. He cut off the servant's ear. I mean, the soldier's ear. But then, when they took Jesus to be interrogated, a little girl said, hey, you were with Jesus. He says, no, I wasn't. Oh, yeah, you were with Jesus. No, I wasn't. And then he began to cuss. as we say in the South, cuss. I guess up here it's curse. And swear that he didn't know him. Jesus said, upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Okay, if that's Peter, hey, that's not a good start. Then after Jesus was risen from the dead, talked to him, Peter went to all of his disciples in John 21 and says, listen, I'm going back into the fishing business. It says, I go a fishing, which is a sermon in its own right about now in another month or two. That'd be a new revelation we have. But he didn't say, hey, listen, I'm going to go down the lake and go fishing today. He says, I'm going back into the fishing business. And all the apostles says, I'm going back too. Really, that was the most dangerous time of the entire gospel message on the earth. Because after Jesus had died, after he was risen from the dead, before he was ascended to heaven, he entrusted the entire gospel to this group of men. And the leader, Peter, says, you know what? I'm going to leave my gospel call and go back to what I was doing before. And Jesus came to him and fed him fish. And then he went through the, Peter, do you love me more than these fish? Or this fishing business? He says, you know, went through the whole scenario. So if he was talking about building this on Peter, you know, that's real interesting. He wasn't talking about the church being built on Peter. And I know we just destroyed centuries worth of tradition in one swoop. He was talking about building the church on the revelation of who he was. The revelation that Peter had, that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. That didn't come from flesh and blood. And he was going to build his church on revelation. That's how Paul received it. That's how the apostles received it. You know, Paul knew more about what happened during the trial, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus than the actual men that were standing there with him. He had more insight, more depth. He knew more from the scriptures and from, you know, and about that experience than even the guys that walked with him. Why? Because it came to him by revelation. The other people were there. They saw it with their eyes, but they didn't understand what was going on. I mean, they didn't understand Jesus being crucified. It was a mystery hidden God. It said if the devil would have known it, he'd have never crucified the Lord of glory. But he didn't know. Why? Because he's in darkness. He didn't have that revelation. It was a mystery hidden God. So everything about this gospel age is a mystery that's been revealed, that's been hidden, and the only way you can understand it is by revelation. You just can't read through and understand with your head. It's got to be revealed to you supernaturally. And that's how it came. It is a mystery. The gospel's a mystery. Jesus is a mystery. You can't understand him. Multitudes heard him preach. Great crowds followed him. They didn't have no revelation. One day, here's how people are. He found a little young donkey and rode in on palms, you know. He rode into Jerusalem, and they were hollering, Hosanna to the Son of David, throwing palm branches down. It's quite an entrance. The very same group, a week later, when he was standing beside Pilate, said, crucify him, and let his blood be upon us and our children. Well, they certainly didn't have no revelation about his blood, but that's how people are. One day they cheered, the next day, off with his head. They said, crucify him. Sounds like sports teams, huh? Just a thought. Just a thought. But they didn't have no revelation. But Paul had revelation about that day. He preached, he would go into the synagogues and take the Old Testament scriptures that talked about Jesus and preach them scriptures to them and prove through the scripture that Jesus was the Messiah. Then as he began to preach, then they began to see, hey, here's the one that's to come. This is the one that we've been looking for. But the people that were there had no revelation whatsoever who he was. His own hometown had no revelation. Who is this guy? Who is this? You know, this is his brothers and sisters are with us. Isn't he the, you know, Mary's boy, the Joseph's son? Who does he think that he is? See, they heard him. They heard the words, but they didn't have no revelation about it. So they got absolutely nothing. You found Colossians chapter 3 yet? Let's look at verse 9 and 10. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We pray these prayers all the time. Verse 15 says, Wherefore, I also, after I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Well, do you know that wisdom comes through revelation? Hold your place right there and let's look at Proverbs chapter 8. Having wisdom is the same thing as having revelation. Proverbs 8, verse 10. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies. And when you hear wisdom, think about revelation. And all things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. I had a friend of mine that had two dogs. He named one of them Wisdom and the other Prudence. But you don't have to. And find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, and pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom, and I understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. Yet while as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest parts of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass on the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then was I by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth. That's not a lot of Louisiana, by the way. And my delights were with the sons of men. Now, therefore, hearken unto me, O you children, for blessed are ye that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me and watches daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life. Remember, the Bible says the entrance of his word brings light. And who obtaineth favor of the Lord. He that sinneth against me wrongs his own soul, wrongs his own soul. All that hate me love death. Well, it's talking about wisdom here, which is really talking about revelation. Well, let's look what he says here. That the Lord, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believeth, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now we know those scriptures. Now look, follow the order of this. And I want you to see this. Follow these words in order, how it's listed here. Wisdom, revelation, knowledge, understanding, enlighten, then glory, then inheritance, then power, and then fullness. Or we can say this, if we want the glory, the inheritance, the power, and the fullness, what comes before that is wisdom, revelation, knowledge, and our understanding enlightened. That's the order of this prayer. That's how he prayed. He wants us to come into the fullness of his power. He wants us to be a body that's filled with his glory. But it comes through wisdom, revelation, knowledge, understanding, enlightened. And that's how it comes. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3. You'll see something very similar. Verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what's the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You can follow the same thing. Glory, strengthened with might, rooted and grounded in love, comprehend the love of Christ, filled with the fullness of God, then you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So it starts out with being rooted and grounded, strengthened in everything that's in Ephesians chapter 1. Now you got to realize he wrote this book to the Ephesians, so it's a progressive revelation as it goes through. This prayer in Ephesians 3 really comes after the prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, or like it's an extension of it. So you have to be grounded in wisdom, revelation, knowledge, understanding. Then you come into glory, inheritance, and power. You got to be strengthened with might. You got to be rooted and grounded in love. You got to comprehend the love of Christ. Then you're filled with the fullness of God. Then God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power or the revelation or all these other things working in us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Well, that sounds very familiar, don't it? Now, look what it says, what's going to happen when you're filled. It's really revelation. When you have this revelation filled with knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. There's the word power again, and there's might. Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us able or meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. He said he would pray we'd have a spirit of wisdom and that we may know his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And if we do that, if we have revelation, that's how we're going to walk worthy of the Lord. And that's how we're going to be fruitful. That's how we're going to increase in knowledge. That's how we're going to be strengthened. And that's how we're going to be take our inheritance that God has laid up for us. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. We'll say a couple of scriptures here and winding down. 1 Corinthians 1. 4 and 5 says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in knowledge. Let's look at chapter 2, verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that are come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they have known it, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. For you have not received the spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges or discerns all things, yet he himself is judged or discerned of no man. For who have known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Okay, let's go to Matthew 13 and we'll stop here. Thought I'd at least get one or two good amens. Well, I'll settle for one. Matthew 13. And so you'll see this whole thing. So what are we saying today? It's just not important that you hear the word. It's just not important that you hear people preach. It's important that you hear it and get a revelation of what they're saying. Because you'll know the truth. Jesus said you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. The only way you're going to understand truth is by revelation. Well, the entrance of his word brings light. Sometimes you got to hear things over and over and over and over. If you get a good tape, don't listen to it one time and then go to the next one. Listen to it 10 times. Just keep listening to it. Just a thought. You can hear this message today. Get the CD. Next week, play it. And you'll hear things I didn't say today. This morning, you'll think, I didn't hear him say that. I've been to meetings. Come home. Listen to the tapes. I'm thinking, where was I at? I mean, I heard it, but I didn't hear it. And, going to 20 meetings in 3 days and sleeping 2 or 3 hours, I mean, that probably didn't help either, but I'm not sure if I heard it or not. I was there. Well, that's a problem a lot of times. We're just there. We're not hearing much. See, you can hear these things, but you've got to have a revelation. So what are we to pray? He says we're to pray that we get this revelation, that we have wisdom and spiritual understanding and everything with the glory, the knowledge, the times we live in, everything that we are walking, our inheritance, it all comes from that. Jesus said this in Matthew 13, verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Or that's what they said in the King James anyway. I'm sure they didn't say, why speakest thou in parables? Verse 11, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundantly. What's he talking about? Revelation of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. He that has this revelation of the mystery, the kingdom of heaven, to him that has it will be given to him, and he shall have more abundant. More abundant what? Revelation knowledge. But whosoever hath not, for him shall be taken that away, even that he hath. Or one translation says, that he think he hath. Therefore I speak unto them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear and not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For the people's heart is waxed gross. I know, ooh, gross. It's not good. And their eyes, let's see, the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Hear you therefore the parable of the sower. So what is this? Brother Hagin said, every time you see a therefore, stop and see what it's there for. So basically, he said all of this to say this. If anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. You ever seen people under conviction? You preach to them and they're under real conviction and they walk away from it and they don't act upon it. What happens? The devil comes, steals that from them, takes it away from them. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in stony places is the same that hears the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Have you ever preached the word to people and they get real offended? You ain't preached much if you haven't. You know what I tell them? Hey, you're not offended at me. I didn't write this. I'm not that smart. You know, if you have a problem with God's word, then you have a real problem. And people get offended when they hear the word. What happens if you preach the word and people leave? There's nothing you can do about it. Because they're offended at God and his word and the revelation that God gave. And if they're offended at that, you can ask God to open their eyes and pray these prayers. But see, they're not offended at you. They're offended at God's word and what it says. And that's a bad place to be. It says that they're offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, and also brings forth fruit, and brings forth and bringeth forth some 100, and some 60, and some 30. So what's he talking about? Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. For whoever hath revelation knowledge, to him shall be given basically more revelation knowledge, and he shall have more abundance. But whoever hath not, from him shall be taken away that he hath. I tell you this, I've seen this. I've seen people in church for a long, long time, sitting under the word, sitting under a certain kind of light, and don't act on it, and don't walk in it. You know what happens? It's all gone. They lose it. Pastor Mitch met with Billy Miller yesterday for lunch. He stayed with us on Friday night, and we pretty much recovered from it by now, I think. Just a joke. I think we have. But see, we were in Bible school back in, you know, he's in school 81 and 82. 82. I think he graduated 82 and 83. Me 81 and 82, whatever. But we were together as roommates. But you know, a lot of people had revelation. A lot of people had knowledge. A lot of people had a lot of things. But you know, if you lose that, if you don't walk in that, and you let that revelation go, then the devil will come in and take everything that you had away. And see, we don't want to be in the generation that's had so much light and had so much revelation, and yet because we didn't really take it, then the next generation has to come up and rise up and walk in the fullness of it, and we kind of left high and dry. And that's what we don't really need. But I've seen a lot of people, I know a lot of people that had intense revelation, walked in a real place, but you know what? Devil came and stole that. What did he steal? He stole the light. He stole the revelation. He got them to think something other than the word of God and other than in light of revelation. So what was happened? Just what Jesus said, that was taken away from him. Those that walk in revelation, what's happening? They're getting more and more and more. So Brother Hagin said this, if you find yourself in a dark place, like you've lost your path, lost your way, go back to the last thing you know God spoke to you. Go back to the place or the last place you know that you absolutely heard from God and pick back up there, and all that's going to come back. See, a lot of times we're walking in the path of light. Then we get sidetracked. I call it, running rabbit trails. We get off on a rabbit trail, and then we're over here, and all of a sudden we're looking around and saying, man, where in the world are we at? And you're just looking around in the middle of the woods. You have no sense of direction. They actually had woods around my house when I grew up. In Tennessee, now it's all apartments and every other kind of thing, but it was woods, and we had a certain path. But also we got to walking around and just in the woods walking around, and there's times we got to walk around those woods, and I tell you, we look up at the sun, we couldn't even see the sun. We had no idea where we were in a big area. We lost our path. Well, we had to try to backtrack to the place to where we knew where the path was and pick up there and keep on going. So if you've gotten off the path and it's dark and you don't see, and revelation isn't coming, and there's not that victory and that joy, what happened? Go back to that last place of revelation and pick back up there. And all the light will come. And then you'll be, oh yeah, this is the way I'm supposed to go. Remember the scripture says that basically says as you're walking along and you get off, that there'll be a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it. And that voice is revelation. You know what? The 130, 60, 100-fold people are people that are walking in revelation. And those are the people that we're believing for. These are the people we're believing you are. People that walk in revelation. When you walk in that revelation, no one can take anything from you. You can't be moved. Circumstances don't affect you because you have a revelation of who you are, what God's doing, and God's plan for you. And you're just, you can't be moved. They can't take it away from you. See, now eventually those people on the island, I believe they got a hold of that. But see, you can hear the word and instantly have that knowledge of it. But then you've got to come back and reinforce that because the devil, the enemy, people will come and bring confusion. So really part of what we're doing in the leadership of the church here and the leadership of the body of Christ is to feed and teach you and get you so established in revelation that nothing can move you and you're fruitful. And you go bear fruit. And nothing shakes you. And nothing moves you. And whatever God calls you to do, you're solid. Have you ever stepped out real bold to do something, then after a little while some things happen, you're thinking, what did I eat that night? What was I thinking when I got over into all of this? Paul and Silas. A country preacher talked about Paul and his wife Silas and their son Timothy and got people saved. Well, Paul was going to go here. The Lord said no. Paul was going to go over here. The Spirit told him no. He was going to go to Asia, and the Holy Ghost forbid him. And then he had a dream and saw people in Macedonia say, come over and help us. So he went over there. He got there. He's walking to prayer. Some lady is saying, these are the servants of the Most High God. Follow them there. But it wasn't a good witness. It was a lady full of the devil. He cast the devil out of her. They all got mad. They beat him. They threw him into prison. In the inner prison, the lowest prison. Now, I've always thought about Silas. It'd be like Brother Copeland or some major minister saying, hey, why don't you come on a crusade with me? God's sending me to this place. God's sending me to Macedonia. Wow. Send your newsletters out, and it's great. You get there. You cast the devil out of a woman. Before the meetings even start, they throw you in prison. You're beaten. Well, at that time, he had to know whether he was there because it was just he liked to go to Macedonia, or it was just a great idea, or God sent him there. But you know what? In the midnight hour, he praised God. The prison was shaken. Chains coming loose. The jailer was saved. They started a church there. And if you look at Macedonia in the book of Acts, there's a lot of people that came out of that region that were his workers. He came through that region, had a base there, and it was a major work of the gospel. What if he wouldn't have walked in revelation? What if he'd have just walked by circumstances? They'd have beat him and he'd have left there. He just said, man, I ain't never come back to Macedonia anymore. I must have really missed God. So you can't live by circumstances. You got to live by revelation. Not by circumstances. Because, being in the will of God doesn't mean everything's always going to be good. And all the circumstances are going to be great. That's why you got to live by revelation. Because you know that's what God's called you to do. And you know you're supposed to speak to that people, that message. God sent people to entire nations and groups of people that didn't receive him at all and killed them. I'm not believing for that. Don't have that on my refrigerator, quoting that one. But what if he did call you to do something? I mean, see, how are you going to ever know? And how can you be faithful to it? It has to be something that God so strongly revealed to you that nothing can move you. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much for this group. Today, we're going to walk in revelation. And we see the importance of it. And Father, where we've missed it and where we've gotten away from the light, Lord, we repent and come running back to the light. Father, I thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Thank God. You forgive all our iniquity and heal all of our diseases. You redeem our life from destruction and crown us with loving kindness and tender mercies. And Father, we thank you for these things in the New Testament being revealed to us so that the light comes and we can walk in the presence and the power of God. And we can see the glory and the anointing will come and we'll have the power and the fullness. And Lord, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Pastor Mitch.
Amen. Sitting here thinking about this. You know, in Deuteronomy 6, 7, 8, the Lord brought me back to that as Pastor David was preaching. And, you know, they gave a priority to the word. They talked about it when they got up. They talked about it before they went to bed. It was a priority in their lives. And, You know, if you don't make the word and your time with the Lord a priority, you're not going to get any revelation. I'm going to tell you that right now. You're going to get your revelation is going to be about this much. I spend hours, and I'll listen to different messages over and over and over. 10 times, I might listen to them 20, 30 times over and over and over. And it, because I want that message, I want that word to get down on the inside of me, and I want the revelation of that message. But just like I sensed last Sunday, and I said last Sunday, I said this Sunday is different than all the other Sundays because I believe God has taken us and wanted to take us to a new place. And I was talking to Matt, and Matt said he sensed that very same thing. But, you know, the revelation of the Word of God is so powerful, and we're going to have some workshops because I do not believe in a Sunday service you can cover everything and teach people how to apply that. So we're going to have some workshops, and we're going to teach. There's going to be several of us in here teaching about this, of how to apply this to our lives. Practical application. And then once we get that practical application, you'll start to see change take place in your life like you've never seen before. You'll be a storehouse for the people. You'll be a storehouse for people. You know, Pastor David mentioned this in 1 Corinthians 1:4-5. He says, I thank God, my God, always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him. And I thought to myself, you know, I am very rich. I am very, very rich because he has enriched me in utterance and in all knowledge. And that's a great thing, isn't it? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for the spirit of revelation and wisdom and the knowledge of him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, you're dismissed. Have a great day. Hallelujah.